Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. Really appreciate it.
This is Nightline.
Tonight, breaking news. Actor Alec Baldwin accidentally shooting two people with a prop gun on a movie set. One person is dead. Plus, race norming. The NFL ending the controversial practice of factoring race and concussion claims.
To me, it's kind of like somebody steals your purse and they give it back and they say, well, I gave it back.
Some black players and their families say the discrimination went on far too long.
As it stands today, my husband hasn't received his justice.
How the league is trying to level the playing field. And behind the scenes of Dune.
Guess I'm not in the mood today.
You fight when the necessity arises. Now fight!
The much anticipated sci-fi epic with an all-star cast.
I got to enjoy the movie like any fan would.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Details just coming in about a deadly incident on the set of Alec Baldwin's new film, Rust. The director of photography was killed, and the director was wounded when authorities say Baldwin discharged a prop firearm. Here's ABC's chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman.
Tonight, the deadly real-life horror unfolding on a movie set in New Mexico. Authorities tonight confirming that actor Alec Baldwin accidentally discharged a prop gun, shooting two people on the set of the upcoming Western movie, Rust. Helena Hutchins, the 42-year-old director of photography, eventually dying, while director Joel Souza is still undergoing treatment for his injuries. Baldwin, also one of the film's producers, is best known for his starring role in 30 Rock and a recent turn playing Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live. This image, posted earlier today on Baldwin's Instagram, shows him on the set of the movie. An image is taken after the shooting. Baldwin is visibly distraught. The sheriff's department says that no charges have been filed, but that the investigation remains active.
Our thanks to Matt. There'll be much more in this story on GMA in the morning. We turn now to the major news from the NFL. The league reaching an agreement to end the practice of what was called race norming. Some black former players say denied them just compensation for their injuries. Here's ABC's senior national correspondent, Terry Moran.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and I'm really just eager for it just to come to fruition.
It's a stunning new development in the landmark NFL concussion settlement program, a deal that was supposed to pay eligible former players suffering from the lingering effects of head injuries. But former NFL player Lewis Leonard and his wife Lacey are among those who say the compensation program has been discriminatory, denying payouts to some qualified black former players.
What's going on, buddy?
By using a controversial medical practice known as race norming. It's a formula that assumes black players start at a lower cognitive level than white players, making it harder for black players to receive payouts.
Are you really advocating for these players who are driving the dollars for the NFL? No. The NFL really, really needs to give these families justice.
Now, months after an ABC News investigation of the program, the NFL and former players have not only reached an agreement to eliminate race norming going forward, but they will also review and reevaluate past cases that may have been denied due to race norming, like Lewis's.
I felt like I have got the short end of the stick along with a lot of other my brothers in battle.
There's no doubt in my mind that if he didn't have this skin, he would have received his award, his claim. I'm happy to see that they're willing to make arrangements to make this right. As it stands today, my husband hasn't received his justice.
Nightline first spoke with the Leonards in June. Their claim for compensation had been appealed by the NFL, despite two doctors who found Lewis, at age 33, had moderate dementia, with a settlement administrator approving him for a close to $2 million payout.
I understand that it's a business, but it hurts. It do. It hurts.
In many ways, the battle to remove race norming from the concussion settlement program started with these two former NFL players, Kevin Henry and Najee Davenport, who sued the league last year, claiming the NFL race-normed to deny their claims. ABC News spoke with them earlier this year in their first on-camera interview.
I'm looked at differently, and it pisses me off.
That's literally the definition of systematic racism, with this race norm and stuff.
Clean hit. When Henry, a former Pittsburgh Steelers defensive lineman, retired from the league at 33, he says he battled what he suspected were the long-term effects of the concussions he sustained on the field.
I get a lot of headaches. Every morning I have a headache. It's just a number of things, man, that a player goes through, man, after football. Life after football is not fun. It's not fun.
Who wants to live like that? It's horrible. It's just sad to see. It just breaks my heart. It really does.
Henry and his wife turned to the NFL Concussion Settlement Program. And as part of the process, Henry saw a doctor who determined he was suffering from a cognitive decline consistent with mild dementia. But when Henry submitted his claim to a settlement administrator, he was denied, with the administrator questioning whether Henry's performance on the tests was valid, saying his doctor, quote, used inappropriate norms.
Every time the ball is snapped, it's a car crash for me. And there's no white, black thing in that. They don't hit me less because I'm black, or harder because I'm black. It's the same thing.
Najee Davenport, Henry's co-plaintiff, says his claim was also unfairly rejected. The former NFL running back says that when he retired at 29 years old, he dealt with anger issues and memory loss.
I was never like a quick fighter, I think. I was more like a happy-go-lucky guy. I was getting in trouble or getting in fights or getting in confrontations.
When Davenport learned there might be money available for treatment, he sought the help of Dr. Charles Golden, another neuropsychologist working with the NFL. Dr. Golden says he did not use race-based norms in Davenport's evaluation.
You examined Najee Davenport. Did you find that he had suffered cognitive impairment?
Absolutely. First of all, using the non-race norms, he even met the NFL qualifications for being impaired. Looking at the pattern of his test results, we're very consistent with someone who's had multiple head traumas or CTE or some other type of brain disorder.
The settlement administrator approved Dr. Golden's conclusions, but the league appealed.
The NFL has maintained that it did not require doctors like you to use the norms, the race norming process on players, that they left the decision to you. Is that true?
In Najee's case, to be specific, they wrote me and said, you need to rescore it using the black norms. I sent back a not very nice note that basically was that would be racist to do it the way they wanted to do, and if they wanted to go to court, I would be more than glad to testify for Najee.
In response to questions from ABC News, the NFL said in February that it does not play a role in independent clinicians' examinations, and the league does not require clinicians to adjust for race, and any corrections are left up to the sound discretion of the clinicians. Attorney Cy Smith represents both Henry and Davenport.
Whenever a clinician, a neuropsychologist, tries to use something other than black norms for black players, white norms for white players, the NFL has consistently attacked those clinicians.
Emails obtained exclusively by ABC News earlier this year show several neuropsychologists who appear to agree. They say they felt pressured to apply race norms by the NFL, and that when they didn't use them, the NFL would appeal, resulting in players' claims being denied. With one clinician saying if they didn't use the race norms, there would be multiple inquiries levied at them, while another questioned their required reliance on using norms that, bottom line, do discriminate against black players.
what people don't recognize is that to play in the NFL takes very strong cognitive skills. You've got to memorize a playbook. You've got to make instantaneous decisions. And so when they come in here, you can just see the changes in them, and it's disturbing. I'm almost twice some of their ages, and I was more physically fit and cognitively fit.
The league initially defended the system, stating that cognitive tests without adjustment were misdiagnosing black test takers as cognitively impaired at up to 3 times the rate as white test takers. Chris Seeger, the attorney who negotiated the terms of the original 2013 agreement on behalf of the former players, was also a champion of the agreement at first.
You're not going to hear me try to claim that it's perfect. It's the result of a litigation, and nothing that comes out of a litigation is perfect, but it's good.
But after coming under increasing fire from outraged players and families angry about race norming, Seeger sat down exclusively with my ABC colleague Ryan Smith in June.
I'm really sorry that anybody, any client of mine in this program has been made to feel that way. That was a big mistake. It was a failure of the system.
He went on to make a shocking admission and a vow.
I was wrong. Now I'm going to eliminate race norming from the settlement. So if I can't do it by agreement, I'm going to go to court, and we'll do it that way. And in addition to that, I need to conduct an investigation, which I'm in the process of doing. And if that results in me having to score every single claim again, especially where race norming was applied, I will fight to have that done.
The day that interview aired, the NFL pledged to eliminate race norming. And now, 5 months later, with the agreement finalized, the Leonards are hoping they have a fighting chance. Would you call this justice, what's happened?
I don't think that I would necessarily call it justice. To me, it's kind of like somebody steals your purse and they give it back and they say, well, I gave it back.
I think if the light was not shined on this situation, we don't know how many other people and families would have been affected. I'm just thankful that some things can get handled the right way and nobody else has to suffer.
Our thanks to Terry. Up next, grab the popcorn. We sit down with the big names from the new sci-fi thriller, Dune.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The much-anticipated new movie version of the sci-fi classic Dune is hitting the big screen with the cast loaded with famous young faces. And as ABC's Maggie Rooley found out, the stars sure seem to have a lot of fun.
I guess I'm not in the mood today.
Mood?
Yeah.
What's mood to do with it?
You fight when the necessity arises, no matter the mood. Now fight!
Dune, the much-awaited sci-fi epic, is finally hitting theaters, brought to life with a star-studded cast. And they're just as excited to see it as the fans, maybe even more so.
I've seen it 4 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the record? Yeah. Well, maybe Demianzi.
I've been at three.
Three.
You're at 3,000.
Yeah.
It keeps getting better.
I got to enjoy the movie like any fan would. You know, I got to see it for the first time, truly. That was a really, really special screening.
No strangers to superhero films. Aquaman's Jason Momoa.
Permission to come aboard.
And Spider-Man's Zendaya.
MJ. Are you okay?
round out the all-star cast. But in this film, Timothée Chalamet plays the hero, Paul Atreides.
Dad, what if I'm not the future of House Atreides?
Based on the best-selling cult favorite novel of the same name, Dune is a coming-of-age story.
What was it that drew you to this character?
Well, what drew me to the project was Denis and just the opportunity to work with him. First and foremost, I would have played the sand in this movie had they offered it to me. And then, yeah, at the center of that, just that fear, that desire to overcome it, mm-hmm. the desire to fight for what's right. If there's some honor, I feel, it's to get to bring the story to generations that weren't alive in the 60s when Frank Herbert wrote it, but that can get something out of it, get something huge out of it. We can only go forward by learning from the past.
A central theme, how exploiting the planet's natural resources can lead to humanity's self-destruction.
The outsiders ravage our lands in front of our eyes.
It's a book that became sadly more relevant as time went by. I think Frank Herbert was trying to do a portrait of the 20th century and it became just like a prophetic vision of what will happen today.
There should be no judgment mm-hmm. for you to just enjoy it, but there are conversations to be had, and this generates a conversation, whether or not you want to talk about geopolitical issues or recycling or feminism or equality. It's topical if you're open for it.
The dystopian sagas influence sci-fi on the big and small screen for more than half a century, inspiring series like Mad Max, Game of Thrones, and Star Wars. For decades, many have tried and failed to capture the essence of Dune on the silver screen. But the fandom, which includes director Denis Villeneuve, who read the book when he was just 13 years old, has long been left unsatisfied.
I was waiting for an adaptation for years. David Lynch, someone who I deeply respect, made an adaptation.
I'm sorry, Gurney.
Not sorry enough.
That made me half satisfied in a way, because there was a strong things in it, but also things that I felt were deviated from the book a bit too much. I was waiting and waiting and waiting for someone to make an adaptation, and it never came, so that's why we are here. Yeah.
The film follows Chalamet's character Paul as he's forced to survive on a harsh desert planet, all while struggling with prophetic visions of the future.
There's something awakening in my mind. I can't control it.
What did you see?
That endless desert is home to the girl of Paul's dreams. Literally.
I don't believe you're the Lison al-Gaib. But I want you to die with honor.
Played by Zendaya, a wordless harbinger of his fate.
What was that like, knowing that you had to show up and convey so much with just your presence?
What was special to me about the visions is it kind of leaves the audience trying to figure out what is the significance of this character, because we only see her through his visions. We don't actually know her at all.
Take two.
The cast says they're proud to be a part of a sci-fi legacy, well as finding a chosen family in the process.
I have to say, what I've loved so far is just watching the five of you together. It's been the most entertaining thing, I think, interview I think I've ever been a part of.
You're welcome. It's just an act.
We hate each other's guts.
Yeah.
I'm sure working on something like Dune, we've all known as this, again, this iconic movie and film that's been our story, part of our culture for decades, and now you're a part of it, so you probably had a lot of expectations. But what's something that just totally surprised you about working on this film?
I don't know about you guys, but so much acting for me when you go on a new project is always a process of, like, something revealing its origin to you, but you kind of have to find your way to it. But mm-hmm. not that it's the same, but, you know, you find your rhythm, you find your family, and this is like a tight-knit family now.
It's so easy with Timothy. Yeah, I think of him as like a younger brother, like on and off set, super comfortable, and he's extremely intelligent and funny. We laugh.
I just want to say, like, in the least corny way possible, this is the dream, right? This is like being able to be a part of something like this with people like this and learn from them and be around them and love what you do. That's the dream.
And that's Nightline for this evening.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.